The Red Nation interview series is brought to you by Derby Star Canada. Visit derbystar.ca and see specialty soccer balls designed with development in mind for all ages. Play soccer with quality like the German and Dutch at derbystar.ca.
You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to the Red Nation Podcast Interview Series. My name is Steve Botcher, and recently I had the chance to speak with former head coach of Southern Methodist University and FC Dallas, Shellis Hindman. In this interview, Shellis and I discuss his successful career as a head coach in the NCAA and Major League Soccer, the influence his martial arts background had on his coaching career, and his upcoming participation as a clinician at the 2015 National Soccer Coaching Conference. And now, Shellis Hindman. Shellis, you'll be one of the featured clinicians at the National Soccer Coaching Conference that will be held in Toronto at the beginning of next year. What can attendees expect from your sessions?
Well, you know what? I talked a lot to Anthony about what sessions would work, and we decided the system of play, a 1-4-4-2, which is a real common system as you're seeing today in the modern games, and then I'll also be doing a lecture on the system of play. Then I have a second field session that will be a possession training, thinking and playing quickly, and I think it's going to go over really well.
You're a very experienced coach, and you've spoken many times at events similar to the National Soccer Coaching Conference. How important is it for coaches to attend these types of conferences, not only to learn from experienced coaches such as yourself, but also to sort of get out of their usual routine and spend time with others in their field?
You know, I think it's extremely important, and I know that the clinic is a quality clinic because it's been recommended to me by Tony DeChico. I think he was just there last year at the National Soccer Coaches Conference. It is considered one of the better clinics in North America, and I'm really, really happy to be there. Well, coaches, you know, we a lot of times steal ideas from each other. We go to clinics, we see something we like, we use it. You know, many of us have mentors that can help us continue to grow, but I think one of the traits of a good coach is always seeking knowledge. And I know the clinicians that will be participating that weekend are very experienced, and I know they have a lot of knowledge to share.
Here in Toronto, you're probably best known for your tenure as head coach of the FC Dallas side that played in the 2010 MLS Cup Final here at BMO Field in Toronto. Prior to coaching in Major League Soccer, you had an extremely successful career as an NCAA head coach with Southern Methodist University. What were some of the key aspects of making that transition from leading and overseeing a major college soccer program to being at the helm of a professional club with FC Dallas?
You know, that's really a great question, and I've been asked that many times. At Southern Methodist University, I was there, I think it was 26 years, and we were in the championship Final Four, I think two of those years. Very, very successful program. We're in the playoffs, I think, 30, you know, in my career, I think we're in the playoffs 30 of 31 years. So very successful collegiate coach. Why would I leave a lifetime contract at a college to go into professional soccer? You know, I think it was a couple of things. One, you know, I have had that opportunity quite a few times, and I've always found a reason not to do it. I think the timing was really good. You know, the ownership asked, you know, came to me and asked me if I would be a part of the FC Dallas organization because he needed my help, not only with the first team, but also to set a program in place for the academy and kind of a direction for the club, which I really enjoyed. You know, did it for 5.5 years. And I, like so many people, you know, I didn't want to be on my deathbed and wish I'd have done something different. You know, and this took a lot of courage, you know, but I think you want to always be measured on how good you can be, and you want to compete against the best. when you're a coach, you want to compete against the best teams in the country, and when you're a coach, you want to measure yourself with the best coaches in the country. So that's a quick, I guess, a quick reason of why I did it.
Some of the most successful MLS coaches have a strong NCAA pedigree. What do you think are all the main ingredients of a coach from a college soccer program brings that appear to translate well into Major League Soccer?
I think there's a few things, Steve, and I think one is that the college coaches really are educators. You know, they have a degree. To work in a university environment, you have to have a college degree, and normally it's at least a master's degree. So you're educators, and I think you feel very comfortable in a collegiate environment because you're working with students that are aspiring to get a degree, and then, you know, some of the elite ones who are hoping to have a career after college. And so I think you're working with young people. You're having an opportunity to make an imprint in their lives, to make them better players, to take them someplace as a coach that they can't get to by themselves. And then you find success in the NCAA level. And then you're always working with the NCAA institutions as far as the governance, the rules, and eligibility, and making sure that student athlete is on a path to graduate. So I think those type of things really, really comes in to the professional coaching environment because, you have to be successful at the NCAA. You're working with young players, and you usually have quite a few years of experience as a coach. Sometimes you see in professional soccer, you know, the MLS right now is moving towards ex-players who've been in the league, who brings in the understanding of how the league works. They don't really have much of a coaching background, but what they do is they're using their experience as a player to become a coach. And there is so much more to coaching than experience as a player.
What do you think are the most important qualities that a coach working with elite players must have?
Well, I think the first thing is you have to have knowledge. You know, elite players will know if you understand the game well enough to help them. You know, and there's no doubt that, you know, if I'm coaching a Pelé, for example, you know, it's not like I'm going to teach him a lot, but maybe I can find some things that he's questioning that I can be a coach that can kind of have communicate with him and we find a solution. Elite players always want to be challenged. You know, when I do a lot of coaching courses, I talk about what type of player do you want? We all want that elite player. And there's two categories. And let's just say the first category is talent. And then the second category is attitude. And you want a player that has both. If you mark them in grades, both A-level talent, A-level attitude. But then what do you do with the next level player? Is it A-level talent, B-level attitude? Or is it B-level talent, A-level attitude? And that's the one I normally try to find, a B-level talent with the A-level attitude, because those are the players that will show up every game. They will always give their best. And their attitude is always about team-orientated. Sometimes when you have an A-level talent and a B-level attitude, you know, they're inconsistent. They play the way they feel. And I just think so much of coaching with a lead player is to make sure their attitude is always sharp.
FC Dallas enjoyed very successful years with you as head coach, including that aforementioned trip to the MLS Cup final, becoming the first MLS club to defeat a Mexican team in Mexico, and with you winning the MLS Coach of the Year award in 2010. I'm wondering, what do you think are some of the keys towards achieving success in Major League Soccer? People usually talk about it being a very unique league.
It is a very unique league. it's a league made up of a lot of talented players, a lot of homegrown players, a lot of younger players. It's a very athletic league, and it can be a very physical league. The schedule is very demanding, and the country is so large that, you know, you're doing so much time traveling. You know, whether it's, I remember when we beat Pumas, we were the first team to win there on Mexican soil with a professional team. The next day we were on a flight to Toronto to play, and the game was rained out, and we came back the next morning. I think we kicked off at 10 in the morning. And then we left there and went to Kansas City for a game. And because the game was rained out, we couldn't fly out. We had to play that game. So the travel is very, very demanding, not only, you know, for the players, but the staff, you know, the coaches. It is a very demanding league. But I think what you try to do is you try to control the things you can control as a coach. And what I find that will normally find success for you is if you work with a team defensively, give them good understanding, give them job descriptions. Each player has a job description. These are things we like you to do when we have the ball. You know, these are a central midfielder, for example. When we have the ball, we want you to open, try to penetrate, try to give the killer pass, hit a long-range shot. So there's certain things we want that player to do. But then there's also, when we don't have the ball, we want you to be in the midfield. We want you to break up the plays before the opposition gets to our back, our defenders. We want you to track midfielders running through. So there's job descriptions that they have to be willing to do and understand their roles. And if you get every player understanding their roles and working together, and you have that team chemistry, the sky is really the limit.
You've spent almost the entirety of your coaching career in the United States. However, you did spend 1 year in 1976 in Brazil, where you served as a staff coach with Sao Paulo Football Club. What did you take away from your time in Brazil?
Yeah, you know, when I went to Brazil, unfortunately, you know, my mother just passed away, and I think I needed to do something different. And I had a great opportunity to work with Sao Paulo Futebol Clube, and I was coming in as an estágio. The Portuguese word is estágio. What that means is that you're a student coach. I was not really their staff coach. I was a student coach. My main job was to be at training sessions, to learn what was going on, and then also, wanted, because back in those days, we didn't have computers. I'd be in the stands, and for example, the center midfielder, Pedro Rocha, was a great player from Uruguay. And my role was to watch him, how many touches he got, where he got the touches, and then what kind of pass did he make. Was it a backwards pass, a side pass, or penetrating pass, and did the next pass connect? So my job was very, very simple as far as watching the game and understanding what the coach wanted me to do. What I was a sponge, you know, and Portuguese is my first language, so it was easy for me to understand what they were looking for, what desires were. I came away with an understanding of, a better understanding of the Brazilian soccer, and then I came away with an understanding of how important physical fitness was, because that was the time, if you remember, 1970, when Brazil won in the World Cup, and they prepared 3 months with a physical preparation named Claudio Coutinho. And I understood that, those principles, and then I understood Brazilian style play where possession was a key, and possession with a purpose of getting forward. And I was just so fortunate, you know, I did it for a year and a half. I was so fortunate to work with some national team players out of Brazil that made me in the situation. I came back for a vacation, and when I came back for vacation, I was offered a job at my alma mater, Eastern Illinois University, and I just couldn't pass up the opportunity to be a head coach in college.
Outside of soccer, you've had a very interesting life, and your story is one in which you've you dealt with significant challenges while growing up in Macau, China, and then Springfield, Ohio. I suspect how you learned to deal with those early challenges in your life likely played a big part in who you are as a person and in the success that you achieve professionally. However, as a head coach, you had to deal with, you know, different personalities all the time, all of whom had very different life experiences. As a coach, how do you manage motivation and discipline while coaching people from a wide variety of backgrounds with a wide variety of life experiences?
I was born and raised in Macau, China, and it was a time that was pretty difficult for anybody who wasn't really part of the communist movement. And we came to the United States on the barrel of a ship, and it was about 3 months we came as refugees. And within a year, my father unfortunately was killed in an accident. So we were growing up on the streets, not having a language, and it was pretty tough. But you found a way. You know, soccer was my way. I got to the university, and I did well enough as a player to play in the American Soccer League, and then I went to Brazil. But what I really found was, and I had a real love and a passion for the martial arts, so that kind of brought a lot of time and discipline to my body just because of the martial arts nature. And when I started coaching, I agree with you. I think one of the biggest things we underestimate as coaches is the ability to communicate clearly and early with players. And then the other thing is motivation. So communication and motivation is not about X and O's, and it's not about system of play. We all have knowledge, but that knowledge really doesn't do a lot of good if we're not able to communicate with the players about that knowledge and then take them through the training sessions where they're learning exactly what we're looking for. A simple thing is, for example, the back four. If the back four don't understand that they're playing some type of zonal defending and that there is man-to-man coverage, especially when the opponents get in your penalty box, forget about zonal. You know, you better be marking people because you don't want to give them a chance to score a goal because you're playing a zone. So you have to be able to communicate, give them clear information, and then also give that information often. Now, on the other side of it, again, it's not about X and O's. It's that motivation side. And I thought this is one of the areas that I'm really quite good at, is motivating players to do things that they normally don't want to do. You know, in physical preparation, there's very few athletes that say, "Oh, wow, great, we're going to do some fitness work today." But if you can make it enjoyable for them, if you can give them a reason why they're doing it, and if you can change it up so it's not the same routine or boring environment, that's part of that motivation. So I think those are the things that are extremely important for coaches. And I probably spent the last 15 years really studying the psychological part. I have a tremendous mentor and a man in England named Bill Beswick, who worked with Stephen McLaren when he was at Man U and still working in England. And I've been with him about 15 years. So I keep looking for things to make me a better coach in communication and in motivation.
It's well known that you're a strong proponent of the martial arts and that you've earned a 10th degree black belt. How did your martial arts background influence your coaching?
Yeah, another great question. You know, I didn't think there was much correlation between the two. And of course, you know, when you get to the high level rank, and you're getting a lot of media attention, whether it's ABC or, you know, news stations or whatever, somehow you become bigger than life. You know, I mean, I think a lot of people thought if King Kong showed up, I would win. You know, so it's one of those things. It's an impression that people have. But I really think what the martial arts did for me was it gave me a lot of confidence at a younger age, and it gave me the understanding of what self-discipline meant. Because you never get to a high-level rank unless you can control your own emotions and you can control your own discipline. And so when players, for example, would pick up cards, you know, I wasn't there to intimidate them about the cards. I was there talking to them about emotional intelligence and having empathy of, yeah, you just received a red card, you have to sit out a game. But let's talk about this, you know, because you have to understand you're hurting the team when you're not playing. But not to do it in a threatening manner, but to do it in a learning manner so that the player understands that retaliation, trying to kick somebody back, or that descent towards an official really does harm the team. So I think the martial arts helped me tremendously in the self-discipline, in the confidence, and I think soccer players in general, from what I've seen, like the martial arts. They see a part of that kicking and that kind of environment. And there's a lot of people who do the soccer and then do martial arts at some point of time in their life.
I have one final question for you. In addition to your education and coaching, you earned two master's degrees, one in physical education and one in psychology. And of course, there's all of the education that you've done in martial arts, and you taught and ran your own successful martial arts school as well. How important is it for coaches to have a well-rounded education and you know, have interests and disciplines outside of soccer?
Yeah, you've really done your homework on me. I think it's extremely important that you're well-rounded. You know, I think if you look at some of the people overseas, you know, they go down one route, and that route is they grew up in a club as a soccer player, and then they signed a professional contract, and they played soccer until the day they couldn't play anymore. And if they were fortunate enough to be channeling all that energy back into soccer, then they get into a coaching environment. But the conversations with them and players were probably a lot about soccer. And I think being well-rounded, especially as an American coach coaching collegiate players and even professional players, I think having an understanding of how life goes, having an understanding of how important it is for a college kid to go to classes and get their degree. And it's great to have a dream about being a professional player, but it is a very, very slippery slope because not many people are called, and even less are chosen to be a professional player. So there has to be a life, and if you want to continue in the sport world in soccer and you're not good enough to be a professional player, then how about think about being a coach, whether it's a collegiate, high school, or even a club level? And I think this is where, you know, I think the educators, and I am very proud of that word, I think the educators can get more out of a player by being able to communicate and to be able to use methodology of coaching. If not do this because it's the right thing to do, don't do this because I did this as a player. It's more or less, this is why we want you to do this. Let's use videos, let you use your last game match analysis, and then let's see if we can get you going down the road where you now are starting to make decisions for yourself on the field and in life.